Hello and welcome to Our Food with me, Mary Brophy. Coming up on today's programme, we discover how important food branding is to your product.
And you need to engage your customer visually. That's your first access to the consumer.
I'll be stepping behind the counter at Moville's farm shop.
A woman came in the shop one day and she went, "We haven't tasted turnip and carrots like that since Daddy died."
And I'll meet a farmer in St Johnston who's had a rare but rewarding midlife crisis.
I read about Tamworth was the best meat, so I thought, you know, if I'm going to be in this, let's try to be the best.
But first, I've come to the pretty town of Moville to visit a genuine community food business. Originally set up 9 years ago as a cooperative to provide local producers with an outlet to sell their organic produce direct to consumers, today it's run by Joe and Jeff Fowler, who moved to Donegal from their award-winning farm in North Lancashire. Over the door, a modest sign simply reads, Farm Shop. So I head inside.
Hiya.
Hi, Joe.
Mary.
Joe, yes. Hi, how are you?
We'd been looking for some way to sell organic produce. Initially, just our own stuff. And we were with a group of other people there was a candle maker, a baker, someone who made bags, someone who made clothes, there was someone who was making baskets. And the idea initially was that a group of us would work together and we would sell organic dry goods through the shop, which would fund the shop. And all the rest, people would just, whatever profit they made was their own. Mm. We would just work together and everyone would spend a bit of time in the shop helping. But gradually...
So that was like a cooperative then?
Sort of, yes. Where it was just meant that everyone had an interest in the shop and paid in time. No one actually, it cost no one anything other than the initial startup that we decided to take on. We had to get a shop because we weren't allowed to have a market stall in Moville. The nearest place we were going to be able to have a stall was 20 kilometres away. It was just that destroyed the whole idea of having something really local. So in the end, we found a premises and went, OK, we've got a shop. And we just did it. And it sort of took off greatly. So we've got bigger premises. Mm-hmm. Lots of storage downstairs that we can't use because of the recession. There's no money to have stock on hand. But apart from that,
yeah,
it's worked.
And like most people, if they're producing fruit and veg or if they're doing handicrafts or whatever, they'll go to a middleman, I suppose, to find the markets for them. Like, why did you decide to cut out the middleman?
Partly because when you've got a middleman, your middleman says, right, I want this many. So we just thought the best thing to do is just do it. If you know what you're doing and you're honest with people, they trust you. Obviously, it makes it cheaper for the consumer, which we think is important. It's essential that if someone wants to buy organic produce, and I don't mean for a lifestyle thing, I mean because some people believe in it, then it's up to us to make it. We feel we can make it available, so we do. So we don't whack a great charge on. Sometimes if something comes in that we've had to buy through a wholesaler and it's ridiculously expensive, we just sell it at cost just to make it available to people.
You've a very large basket here. Do you come in here very often?
About twice a week. Yeah.
And what brings you into the shop?
Oh, the organic veg, definitely. The homegrown stuff. Oh, I know, I'd be stocked totally if I didn't have it.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Or growing it yourself. That'll be the next thing.
I'm too lazy, so don't worry, you're not going to lose a customer anytime soon.
€23, please. Thank you very much. We sort of say that the way the shop is an outward expression of our way of life. This is what we do.
And that was the driving force. I mean,
yes.
It was the organic side of things. You moved to a very rural part of North Donegal. And was it that you couldn't get the produce that you wanted other than what you were growing yourself?
It was absolutely that we couldn't get what we wanted. We used to go down to Derry maybe once a month and come back with a fraction of the stuff that we were looking for. So it's where I would shop if I didn't have the shop. So that's how we do it. You talk to people and you find out that, well, this is what they would be interested in. This is what they'd like to buy. So we do it. It's not a community venture, but the truth is that it's not a commercial business as such either. I mean, obviously, it has to be done along those lines and it has to make a profit and everything has to be according to all the European standards. But apart from that, the truth is our interest is just in making stuff available to other people. Well, there's an Irish organic company doing really nice dairy stuff, so we sell that. First of all, people were wanting the UK stuff, but gradually we've weaned them off it. The celery, the lettuce, the broccoli, they're not ours. The curly kale, the spinach, the tomatoes are ours. The cabbage is ours. The carrots, the potatoes, the onions, the turnips are all ours. We had peas and beans, beetroot, just pretty basic field crops that we grow because we're quite all the way up the hill.
But you're growing quite a bit. Yes, you're supplying, a small country shop, yeah. But it is, you are supplying it.
Yes. And the pig in the freezer is ours.
You have a pig in the freezer.
No. Oh, mostly sausages at the moment. But we do have pork, and we have bacon and hams for Christmas and other cuts that people want. We're due to have another beast go soon, so we'll have more beef in the freezer. And that one in there is... It's a sow called Wendy who wouldn't play with the boar. So it's Wendy sausages at the moment.
When you came here first, organic 10 years ago, it was probably just beginning really to become popular. Was there much of an audience in rural Donegal?
We were genuinely surprised at the interest. To some people, it's not so, or it wasn't as much that it was organic produce, but that it was local. Here in Ishoan, people have a very strong sense of place, and they identify strongly with anything that is part of Inishowen and want to support their own rural area. A woman came in the shop one day and she scared me to death. She went, "I need to speak to you." And I thought, "Oh hell, there's something wrong." And she went, "We haven't tasted turnip and carrots like that since Daddy died." People in the town are very cooperative, seriously, with each other. I mean, in the ordinary sense, I don't mean in the strictest terms. People cooperate very much. They're open and willing to be helpful. When we first opened, a man in a shop down the street, I was saying our pricing gun wasn't working, and he just leaned under the counter and brought one out and said, "Borrow that till yours is fixed." And for all he knew, we could have been direct opposition. I mean, we weren't, but he just kindly said, "Oh, borrow that one.
$3.75, please."
Do you come in here very often?
I practically live in here, George, don't I? This is my third time in this week.
More than once a day, quite often.
Yes.
She came in three times, but it was because she kept forgetting things.
That's me, yeah. I will tell you that, to me, the most fantastic thing about Moville is this farm shop, and I am not remotely exaggerating. It is quality of life. Honestly, to have fresh vegetables grown on the hillside here in Greencastle, and it's such good value. 2 minutes walk away. It's amazing. Amazing.
Now, Donegal has had a history of punching above its weight when it comes to food brands. There's the world famous McDade's Football Special, Sam's Buds Crisps and Emerald Sweets. So how important is branding to food products and businesses in terms of customer recognition, or more importantly, sales? First, we took to the streets of Donegal to ask locals what they thought about food brands.
Football Special was a big one. Eh? Oh, it was beautiful at the time. It was lovely for youngsters, you know. It's the main event to get one of those. I'd have Guinness today.
And Emerald Sweets were worldwide. They were known all over.
Oh, aye, they're Letterkenny, weren't they? Yeah, I've tried them, surely. Lovely.
I'd be sending them in packages to the children and or family when they'd be living in Australia or America, just like that, especially the Emeralds.
Product with your brand. And we're moving on to this notion of, basically, it's very hard work.
Ciara Quinlan is a marketing lecturer at Letterkenny IT. Is branding important when it comes to local produce?
It's fundamentally important because from a consumer's perspective, in terms of a brand, is the identity of, it's the embodiment of what the product is, where the product has come from. In terms of the identity of the product itself, you're competing with products that are coming from all sorts of sources. So when you're looking at the local product, it's still competing with the finesse, if you like, the finish and the final product that has been produced with maybe an awful lot more resources, an awful lot more intelligence has gone in terms of to the presentation of the product. So it means that from the consumer's perspective, in terms of they're presented with multiple items, so it's no less important. In fact, it's possibly more important from a local perspective because it has to have that identity, it has to have that story very clearly communicated and consistently communicated in terms of to support its point of difference.
Mm. And when you talk about finesse, as consumers, have we become much more sophisticated in how we respond to things?
I think there's many things going on in terms from the consumer's perspective because there's multiple criteria that they're assessing a product on. But definitely the visual is very important. So in terms of finished, it has to look in terms of as natural in some instances, but that can't be compromised in terms of also with the actual integrity of the ingredients. So we're complex when we're looking for it all, but we want it to look and, if you like, have the message on the outside of the package of what it is on the inside. And we want it in terms of, I suppose, to look as good and be as good, but also know that it has that extra bit of natural and local input. So yeah, we're looking for it all, I think, as consumers. So it's becoming even more important. It can't look like an artisan product, if you know where I'm coming from. It can't look rustic, but yet we're looking for artisan and we're looking for rustic.
Libby Carton is the director of Carton Laver Design Studio and Kinnegar Farmhouse Brewery.
And how does a good brand work in food?
I think it reflects the values of the product itself. That's the most important thing. I mean, you need to engage your customer visually. That's your first access to the consumer. So it is very, very important. And it's important that, I suppose, the visual, the brand identity reflects the product. So if you're sure about the qualities of the product you're making and its characteristic, then it's very important to reflect that in the brand. And I think particularly in artisan food production, the interesting thing about it is the people who make it. So very often there'll be a much closer connection between the people making the product and the consumer than there will be in a bigger, more commercial corporate enterprise. And the chances of cracks in the story becoming very apparent, I suppose, are greater. It has to be authentic. A lot of the time with small food producers, it's the story of the people who are making the food. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean the literal story, but it's something that is related to the environment or the ethos or the whole raison d'etre for the business. That is what people are interested in.
Look in terms of who's competing with you. What does the package look like in the shelf space? It's very different when you're...
But do you think producers are thinking enough at the beginning about how this is going to be branded?
Truthfully, no. The actual physical processes of developing the product might be where the emphasis is initially. It gets there, ultimately, it can get there, but in terms of it mightn't be the people who are gravitating towards developing the products, it mightn't be their natural way of thinking. What's it going to look like on a shelf at the end? Where is it going to be distributed? You know, in terms of the appeal from the consumer's perspective, how it's going to look.
Do you think there are opportunities within what we're doing in food in this country and in the county for branding experts to be linking in with producers much earlier? Is that where we should be going?
Absolutely. I think there is a great opportunity to bring it in early. It's a very different way of thinking. And people like to know what they're engaging with because branding is about development of relationship with product. And if you look at other countries, you know, travel through France, travel through Italy, you go into every region, you're seeing regionalised products, you're seeing in terms of small producers, all very much in terms of personalised, in terms of their story, and you're going home with that story and you want to know that story and you feel a connection with the product in the area because of that. So you want that. That's a very marketable commodity without getting too commercial about it.
It's very important, but it's not the most important thing, and some people get, I think, completely sidetracked by it. The most important thing is making a good product. Once you have a good product, then you need to be able to sell it properly, so the branding is going to help. But it doesn't have to be a big, complex, sophisticated brand. The essence of the brand has to be clear, and the main messages that are being communicated have to be clear, but it doesn't have to be complex. Our recommendation to food producers and most other clients would always have been, think of the big picture early, but you don't have to realise that big picture early. You just have to lay the groundwork so that it can then come together.
Now, for centuries, pork was an important part of the Irish diet and a common feature of rural life. Today, pig production remains a major sector in the agricultural economy, with pig meat exports from Ireland worth over €500 million in 2012. I'm here near Newton Cunningham by the side of a busy road. Across the hedge, I can see small huts of corrugated iron dot the field. I'm meeting John Hamilton, a farmer who is traditionally rearing free-range pigs and selling the pork.
This field here would be low in fertility. So we're growing the oats and the peas. The pigs are grazing it. They're eating the oats and peas, and everything else goes back into the ground, along with all the dung out of the pigs. Changed them into a different paddock this morning. They'll graze that hopefully now for 4 or 5 days. And all you got to do is add water. Give them some water and 4 or 5 days time, spend 1 hour, and we'll change the paddock to another paddock, and away they go again.
So you're like strip grazing?
Yeah. And you can see the ground we're going through here now at the minute. There's not an oat in sight or a pea. Everything's been cleaned, dug up.
And there's massive big holes. It's like somebody came along with a shovel and dug holes, but that's all just the pigs.
These boys, they just hook and dig and eat clay. I think that's where they get their minerals and vitamins. Their dung is pure black, and they're just loving it. 2009 is when I started to farm. I was a stonemason till that, and then I hit the ripe old age of 40 with aches and pains starting in and so on. So I decided to go back to full-time farming. And my idea was that we have beef, pork and lamb that we take directly back, born on the farm, right to selling it to the customer's hand, cutting out all the middlemen and hopefully getting a premium for our stuff. Mm. We grow, 50 or 60 acres of oats and peas, and that's all fed back to the pigs as well, because this field will only last them maybe till end of November. Mm. You know, so then we'll just start feeding.
That's some midlife crisis.
Yeah, well, some people buy a Harley Davidson and whatever. I decided. I talked to a guy about pig rearing on a Wednesday back in 2009. I got a phone call on a Friday from a lady in Roscommon who was selling out of her pigs. I said, give me 2 days and I'll give you a decision. Phoned her back 2 days later, says, I will buy the pigs. It took about 2 months to get my herd number from the department. And we've been doing it ever since.
Yeah.
There's something about it. It is, I don't know, it's hard to explain. They'll beat this down now, you know, and they'll tramp it under the ground, and then they'll dig it up again, and they'll clean every pickup.
And what is this that you're growing?
This is oats here. The peas, there's peas in this, but they didn't do as well this year with the really, that 5 or 6 weeks of bad cold weather, you know.
Mm.
They just didn't. You see these boys here? Where do you hear the munches of these?
And I mean, this would be kind of traditionally how they would have been fed.
Yeah, well, I call this free range at its best. This is, you know, we're not even feeding them, they're feeding themselves. And if they want to be out here at 4 o'clock in the morning, they can see a nice night, like see this nice warm spell now we're having. They'll not lie in the arcs, they'll be lying in a wee heap down here, all on top of each other. Well, we don't use a farrowing crate. The sow, well, I used to farrow the sows out in the ark. It can be cold and maybe a fox could slip in and get a... So now we bring them in, straw bed, plenty of room, even a wee heat lamp for a week. You know, where you can keep an eye and you can watch and you can just look after them better. And we might keep them in then for 6 weeks, maybe even 8 weeks, till we actually wean them off the sow. And then once you wean them off, and like as soon as you take the mother away, they're eating meal. They don't miss her, she doesn't miss them.
Yeah.
We don't pull teeth, we don't cut tails, because we just find the pigs aren't bored. They're not confined, so they're not aggressive.
Okay.
I mean, you see this boy standing right beside us here, and looks.
He's ignoring us completely, yeah.
Will you take this pig out running about, right? Every day running about. Well, it's different muscles, and there's fat through the muscles, and there's more fat to keep them warm. Whereas the guy inside, he only needs a very thin layer of fat. Well, these guys here need a nice wee layer of fat. And then 6-7 months later, maybe 8 months with a Tamworth, hopefully you take them to the abattoir.
Why did you get into the traditional breeds, like the Tamworths and those rare breeds that you were talking about?
I read about Tamworth was the best meat, so I thought, you know, if I'm going to be in this, let's try to be the best. So then we got the Tamworths. I crossed everything with the Duroc boar for just to keep a wee bit of reality in the thing, you know, because people don't want an inch of fat. They want half inch maybe of fat, but they don't want. And if you go too traditional, like, that's why they're rare breeds. Like, people have all fallen away from it, and people have really got used to eating pork that's been developed for the supermarkets, right? And I think we're going to have to actually educate people back, you know, more of this kind of stuff. The problem with the Tamworth is they have smaller litters. They might have 7 or 8, whereas a pink pig might have 15.
Yeah.
They're slower to grow. You know, it might take 8 months for the Tamworth to be ready, and the pink boy might be ready in 6 months. I don't know if my customers are willing to pay extra for this Tamworth meat. That's the problem I'm at the minute here.
And you're competing with the commercial breeder who can take out, you know, he can have twice the amount of meat that you have in that space of time.
Well, I don't really think I'm actually competing with him, because it's a totally different... It's like having oak or pine. It's a different product. You know, this... I can't produce this at the same rate as the other boys. Well, you know, and it's extra feed, because these boys are out running about. I mean, they're running from here to the gate and back and whatever.
What is it about them that keeps you at it?
But it's to see this wee thing, like a wee wet rat popping out. 2 minutes later, he's suckling a teat. 3 days later, he's twice the size. And they're just the cutest things you've ever seen. I don't get attached to the pigs. Once they get big like this here, and you've always got young ones coming on and stuff, it's a good life. They have a quick death. You know, when you're sitting out at 2 o'clock in the morning with a sow farrowing and she's popping these wee boys out, and, you know, to take that right through to getting them butchered and handing your customer a packet of sausages and a packet of bacon, that's, you know, that's where it all becomes worthwhile. That's where you get the buzz, you know, and the customer's coming back and wanting your stuff, and, you know, when you try something new, you try a new type of sausage or whatever. We tried a new Guinness Dulse and potato sausage. Absolutely horrifically bad.
Really?
But
it sounded like it should have been good.
It's good fun trying different things.
Yeah.
Our best selling sausage would be like a Moroccan mix. The first night I landed back with this, my wife says, "You are a nutcase." And I said, "Well, of course, I knew that already." But the people in Dunfanaghy Country Market buy it by the armful. They love them. It's been the toughest thing I've ever done. Every day there's a new challenge, and there's, I don't know, we used to stop, if we had a nice week at the Stone Building, we stopped on a Friday half day, relaxed all weekend. Now it's a 7 day week, but it's right here today. It's just lovely. We're only going 3 years, and, you know, just sell 100 pigs a year, it's not too bad. People have to eat. And my theory is, if I can produce this lovely, antibiotic-free, free-range, say, pork, and sell it direct to the customer at a reasonable price, not, I don't want to rip anybody off, because customers aren't going to buy it if it's too dear.
Yeah.
I think it's just people need to just try it first. And then once they get trying it, they should love it.
But that's it for today. We'll be back here next week with more food stories from around the county. Until then, bye for now.
Our Food is a Hollybrook production for Highland Radio, funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with a television licence fee.